I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Obviously, if you're in an emergency situation, you're going to want to be at Regional One Health. I've been telling you that for a long time. But the other thing you need to remember is that you do not need to be in an emergency life or death situation to be taken care of by Regional One Health. And the East Campus Imaging Center is a wonderful example of that. It's at 6555 Quince Road. So right there where 385 crosses Kirby Parkway. Easy to find, easy to get to. You can reach them at 515-3600, 515-3600. At the East Campus Imaging Center, among the things that can get done there is if you're a woman age 40 or up, it is recommended that you get an annual mammogram. You can get that at the East Campus Imaging Center. Do not put that off. It could save your life. Not doing it could cost you dearly. And you don't even have to make an appointment. You don't even have to have a referral. You can get this done at the East Campus Imaging Center. 515-3600, 515-3600. Give them a call. You can find out more at regionalonehealth.org. That's regionalonehealth.org. Tigers back on the court tonight playing at East Carolina. Top-ranked Tennessee Vols back on the court tonight hosting South Carolina. We're going to get into both of those games in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me from Greenville, North Carolina, in advance of Memphis ECU. He's going to be here a little after 5 o'clock. But right now, Joe Mullinex is the site manager of SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. He's the host of Grizzly Bear Blues Live on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. Please, Cowboy Carson making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Joe, before we talk the latest with the Grizzlies, I just want to ask you a very basic question. How are you doing? Because I noticed on Twitter you tweeted that you were going to take just a couple of days away to sort of refresh. And then when you came back yesterday, you said, thanks for all the well wishes. But you were getting to a point where doing something that you love to do, you weren't loving it so much anymore. And that's writing and talking about the Grizzlies basically nonstop. So you needed to step away. God, I know how that feels. You're better now. How you feeling?
I'm feeling better. I appreciate that, Gary. It's one of those things that I was talking to Brad before coming on. You guys obviously experience it on a much grander scale. But when you make something, this is my hobby. You know what I mean? There is no other thing that I do. And I'm fortunate to be paid to do my hobby, and I'm fortunate to have the opportunities that running GrizzlyBearBlues.com has given me. But at the same time, when people form opinions of you that have never met you and opinions of your site who have done no research into the site and all that kind of adds up over time. And between that and the tension of the trade deadline and all the work that had went into it, I just needed to step away and kind of refocus on what really mattered. And I did that, and I'm feeling better, and I appreciate you acknowledging that. It means a lot, so thank you.
Of course. It's literally the least I could do. Glad to hear that you're feeling better. Now, if you don't mind, let's talk Grizzlies. I haven't spoken with you since the trade deadline. So just in general, your thoughts on what we now know is the end of the Marc Gasol era. Jamichael Green also gone. Shelvin Mack also gone. Garrett Temple also gone. What did you make of how everything went down?
I was pleasantly surprised, and I was kind of shocked at the negative vibes that came out of other folks. We've never had more outlets for Grizzlies coverage. There's so many different folks doing so many good things, and you read and you listen and you follow everything along, and I was pretty taken aback by the negative feedback, especially on the Gasol trade. I'm not quite sure what people expected to get for a 34-year-old center who for 2 months of the season was really bad at basketball. And to be honest with you, if your goal is to convey the pick, which Chris Wallace humorously made very clear was their goal in the aftermath of all of this, if that is what you want to do, I think you took a step towards that with the move that you made. Jonas Valanciunas is a good basketball player. Delon Wright is a good basketball player. C.J. Miles used to be a good basketball player. Same thing with Avery Bradley. If those two guys can figure it out, and Tyler Dorsey is not Shelvin Mack. So in a lot of ways, they had some success. Now, I know getting a first-round pick was valuable. That obviously would have been preferable, depending on the returns. And we'll never know for sure what the exact deals that were on the table. It's a lot of hearsay and reporting and that sort of thing. But I think if you take the deals at face value, it allows for you to be more flexible moving forward. You certainly don't have the emotional attachment to a Valanciunas or a Wright or any of these guys as you would to a Gasol. So if Valanciunas opts in and you decide to trade him in December, then there's no skin off your nose. Maybe you get a first-round pick from a team that was swinging for the fences in free agency and swung and missed, as Grizzlies fans unfortunately know a decent bit about. So you look at what they did, and they're still competitive. I think they will convey the pick, mostly because the schedule is so much lighter. And it also allows for them to be flexible with what they want to do. Say they have the 9th lottery odds going into the lottery, so they're lined up to send the pick to Boston, and then they land in the top 3. They quote-unquote win the lottery. Well, that's awesome. You know, now you're getting a Ja Morant, or you're getting Zion Williamson, God forbid, you go all the way up to number 1. You know, that's great. You don't convey the pick this year. You hold on to Mike Conley, and he mentors a younger group of players, and you try to be as good as you can again the next season to try to convey the pick. And if you do convey the pick this year, it can be Mike Conley's parting gift, and you trade him over the summer, and you fully begin the rebuild now that you have cleared the ledger and every first-round pick moving forward is yours. So it makes them a little more flexible. I think that it puts them in a better spot to be competitive now. And by no stretch is it, you know, they're going to make the playoffs, or, oh, this is a brilliant front office now. It's not that kind of party. I think they did the best they could with the pieces that they had at their disposal, especially considering Mark, while he had been better since all the trade rumors broke and he was put on the block, it's easy to forget that for 2 months there he was really bad at basketball, and I think that you can really kind of point to his demise or downfall as the reason that the Grizzlies kind of capsized and fell out of the playoff picture.
Talking to Joe Mullinax, site manager, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinax. And so Marc Gasol's out. Jonas Valanciunas is in. 21 minutes last night, Grizzlies debuted, 9 of 11 from the field, 23 points, 10 rebounds. Combine that with another trade deadline acquisition, Avery Bradley, 33 points, 15 of 21 from the field. Let's start with Avery Bradley. Was that just like one of those nights that we'll never see again, or is it possible that the Grizzlies have maybe tapped into something, that something being somebody who just a few years ago was considered a, I don't know about rising star, but certainly he was a reputable, you know, NBA player on a very good NBA team. Is it possible Avery Bradley can be worth something here?
Anybody who says they predicted Avery Bradley was going to score 33 points on 21 shots is full of it. They're right. Complete total liars. That was a one-off performance. Sure. I highly doubt that he'll do that again. But Memphis has a bit of a track record as a team that, in a city, in a community, that kind of welcomes these guys trying to get second chances. And it's possible that Avery Bradley comes in a different role than he had with the Clippers, and he thrives. Now, thriving could be 12 points a game and being a solid defender again. That was really where he fell off with the Clippers, was as a defender. That was really his claim to fame for a while there. As an undersized two guard, he was still able to defend multiple positions and defend them well out on the perimeter, and he struggled with that so far this year. But he showed flashes of the guy that we saw with Boston and in years past in that game against the Spurs. So I really do think that there's potential there. I definitely wouldn't hold my breath, and it's probably more likely than not that he's, again, an expiring contract trade chip if they decide to opt into his money. But at the same time, it's nice to see them figuring, hey, Garrett Temple has been injured. He started hot, but he's lagging behind. JaMychal Green, you know, he's a hard-working player. Obviously, he does some things well. He can defend on the perimeter himself as a big. But at the same time, you look at the advanced numbers, a lot of the worst three-man lineups that the Grizzlies had involved Jamichael Green. So Shelvin Mack gets a lot of the ire of fans, but Jamichael wasn't a saint either on that front. So you take two guys who aren't a part of your future plans, you turn them into a player who's a swing for the fence, kind of, in terms of let's see what we can get with this guy. And one of the nice things about this team moving forward is it's a lot of players playing for something. You know, it's not, and not to say that Jamichael and Garrett weren't, but Avery Bradley's trying to prove that he's worth that major opt-in of $12 million, or it might be $10 million. That's a pretty big chunk of change. You know, Valanciunas maybe is opting out, trying to take advantage of the money that's going to be available. You've got DeLon Wright trying to maximize his value in restricted free agency. These guys are motivated, and there's reason for them to have success, and that's nice to see for guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., Ivan Rabb, these younger players that you're Javon Carter, that you're trying to figure out, are they a part of whatever this rebuild is going to be whenever it starts? So to me, to have that energy, to have that focus, even if it's kind of self-motivated, at the same time, motivation is still motivation, and it should help the Grizzlies accomplish that goal of sending that pick to Boston, or at least putting themselves in a position to do so.
You a fan of Valanciunas?
Oh, yeah. I think he's great. He's a literal grizzly bear playing basketball. He's physical. Some of the screens he set were unbelievably aggressive. And I think that's something that Grizzlies fans will obviously like. But also, it's refreshing. You know, he's different than Mark. It's almost after a breakup, and you have a rebound that's completely different from the girl that you were with. Valanciunas is not he can pass. He showed some of that ability, but he has a quick first step, and he's younger, and he has the capacity to be able to move off the dribble a little bit more quickly than Mark did, and he is a lot more physical, and he plays a lot more at the rim than Gasol. So that's not a knock on Mark. I'm probably one of Mark's biggest fans. He's one of the reasons I do what I do, but Mark has become much more perimeter-oriented. People would complain about the fadeaway jumper that he would shoot all the time, even when guards were guarding him on switches. Valanciunas is going to go right into you. So it's a nice change of pace, not to take away anything that Mark did as a Grizzly, but to watch that, it was different in a good way, if that makes sense.
Of course it does. Talking to Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. He's on Twitter, at Joe Mullinex. Last thing before I let you go, Grizzlies announced earlier today they are signing Bruno Caboclo to a multi-year deal. I think most of us who have been watching him since he got to Memphis recognize the potential. And it appears that the Grizzlies are recognizing that as well. A relatively speaking, small investment for a possible something. You a fan of them keeping him around for at least the foreseeable future?
Absolutely. And I love that it's the Marshawn Brooks deal and it's not Marshawn Brooks.
Right.
You know, Marshawn Brooks got buckets on a really bad basketball team that was actively trying to be bad. Bruno has come in and earned minutes and earned a role and opportunity on a team that was still trying to be good, even if it's for unique reasons to try to be good. To me, this is the type of deal that you make. There obviously is risk with this because he takes up a roster spot, the similar type of risk that came with Marshawn. But at least this guy is 23 years old. At least this guy has a 7'7" wingspan. There are tangible things, both physically and in terms of his development as a player, that you're investing in. He may wind up being nothing and perpetually 2 years away from being 2 years away, as is the ongoing joke with him. But at the same time, he also could be something. He could be a power forward or center, a four or five, whatever you want to call him. But he has the length and the size to be that modern type of big where he probably shouldn't be, you know, defending LaMarcus Aldridge in the post all that often. But if you're playing a team that is very perimeter-based, like the Warriors or somebody else who maybe isn't as active attacking the rim with their bigs, he has a role there. He can defend the rim. He can play on the perimeter and switch different spots. He, in theory, fits what the modern NBA is trying to do, especially defensively. Why not see what you can get out of that and put some investment into a young guy who is clearly motivated, who wants to stay in the league, and hopes that this isn't his last contract, a minimum contract with the Grizzlies? So he's going to continue to work and really kind of invest in his physical skill set and how far he can take it.
That is Joe Mullinex, site manager, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. If you're not reading it every day, you're not as smart as you could be about the Grizzlies. He hosts the Grizzly Bear Blues live on Block Talk Radio, and you can follow him on Twitter at Joe Mullinex. Thanks so much for being here, man. I really appreciate it. I'm going to talk to you again next week.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, GP. Have a good one.
Thanks, brother. That's Joe Mullinex, again, site manager, SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues blog. You can follow him on Twitter, and you should be, at Joe Mullinex. When we come back, Tigers are on the road trying to snap a three-game road losing streak tonight. They're at East Carolina. Tennessee, top-ranked team in the country, they're at home in Thompson Bowling Arena hosting South Carolina in advance of their showdown with Kentucky this upcoming weekend. I got some incredible numbers about Tennessee and why I still think, despite Duke putting together a resume that the selection committee says is the best in the country, got some incredible numbers that I think highlight why Tennessee still deserves to be number one in the country. I'll share them with you next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.